At this time, we focus on emerging economies, and it's been a little while. We've missed him. Professor Lyle White is back, research associate at the Brentus Foundation, founder of Contextual Intelligence, the organization. And I'm very excited, actually, Prof. The reason we haven't seen you in a while is the last time we were scheduled to speak, you were in Somaliland for very interesting work. How was that? Welcome.
Morning, Rufila. Yeah, it was a very, very interesting interesting trip, a country that I probably would never have even dreamt of visiting. Somaliland, obviously, is a kind of a democratic outpost in a region that is really controlled by a lot of authoritarian rule and lacking democracy. And we went up to observe the elections in that country, which and to ensure that they were carried out free and fair. There were a number of there were actually quite a few people or delegations from South Africa. I went up with the Brentus Foundation and a number of opposition leaders from across the continent. So it was a great opportunity to meet with some of these opposition leaders across the continent who are doing incredible work at driving democracy and representation in their countries as well. So not only an opportunity to visit Somaliland, but also an opportunity to really talk democracy with some of those people that really have dedicated their lives to bringing about democracy in a continent that still lacks other democratic values that we aspire to.
We love it. Well, great to have your contribution. But what we normally speak to you about, of course, is Latin America. Let's kick off with Brazil. What education emergency are they facing at this particular time?
So, and I think this is so instructive for us here in South Africa, just how prepared we were for the pandemic, but also in anticipation for these types of crises, what are we doing to ensure access to inclusive education, be it at the primary school level, secondary level, and higher education, especially higher education in terms of online education. So more than a year after the government ordered school closures due to COVID-19 in Brazil, the education ministry urgently needs to increase support to states and municipalities for remote education, online learning, and a safe return to schools. The government failed to ensure the right to education for more than 5 million children in Brazil. That's 5 million children between the ages of 6 and 17 throughout 2020. And this is according to a recent report by the United Nations Children's Fund. Now, more than 4 million of these children were enrolled in schools but had no remote learning or in-person classes in 2020. It's quite a phenomenal number. Now, and fewer than a quarter of all students dedicated. And now this is where it becomes interesting, the number of hours that were dedicated. So fewer than a quarter of all students in Brazil dedicated 3 hours or more a day to school activities. This was in last September. And almost 5% of students in primary school and more than 10% of high school students reported that they had dropped out of school in January this year. Before the pandemic, interestingly, 4.1 million students in Brazil had no access to the internet whatsoever. Wow. So this is really quite interesting in terms of the numbers. They obviously huge numbers for a single country, but very instructive for us here in South Africa. And meanwhile, obviously, only about 10% of Brazilians, of Brazil's population, is fully vaccinated. And that includes 234,000 educational professionals nationwide. That's 8% of the educational professionals or education professionals. Vaccine scarcity has contributed to high rates of new cases and deaths, which have kept schools closed longer in Brazil than any other country. For a total of 40 weeks last year, schools, which is twice the world average, schools were closed in Brazil. Rafael, this obviously the pandemic, this is one of the indications and one of the some empirical evidence that is coming out that has shown exactly how the pandemic has accentuated inequalities in certain countries and between countries. So it's a very, very interesting story around education, this one.
Very instructive for us indeed to think that for 40 weeks, 75 or three quarters of the entire contingent of learners were working on fewer than 3 hours of work per day. There's no way they're keeping up with that curriculum.
Yeah.
Sure. Keeping with in Brazil, their economic recovery is being stymied by a historic drought. If it's not one thing, it's the other.
Yeah. And obviously in Brazil, they are deeply dependent on agricultural exports, one of the largest agricultural exporters in the world. But not only that, they are dependent on rainfall and hydroelectric power. The worst drought in nearly a century has to hit two key regions in Brazil is wreaking havoc across or have up on hydroelectric dams and the crops, and threatening, as you say, the nascent pandemic recovery of Latin America's largest economy. The dry spell in this large, economically crucial swath of the country is hurting two important sectors, as I mentioned: hydroelectric power, which is Brazil, which Brazil depends on for nearly two-thirds of its electricity capacity, and agriculture, which has been driving the recovery from the economic rots due to COVID-19 last year. Interestingly, the listeners will be interested to hear why the strike has come about. In the south of the country, this is mainly caused by La Niña, often spoken about across Latin America, because this is the cyclical cooling of the Pacific Ocean surface temperatures. But in central west, the drought is being driven by the destruction of the Amazon rainforest. Deforestation has diminished the clouds generated by the Amazon, which dump precipitation across much of the continent of South America. In central western Brazil, the destruction of the Amazon has caused rainfall shortages for nearly a decade. So this is a serious man-made destruction or man-made drought that we've seen. Obviously, the knock-on effect, as you can tell, is increasing electricity prices are fueling inflation, and the drought is hurting key farming states at a time when agricultural sector is driving economic recovery. You know, they saw a growth of 5.7% in agriculture in the first quarter. But the big crops there, as we may or may not know, sugarcane, coffee, oranges, corn, soy crops, are all under serious threat and driving prices yet higher through this drought period.
Could have all been avoided if we just didn't clear out the Amazon. That's really, really frustrating. Let's turn towards online payments, which seem to be picking up massively. Is this in Brazil in particular, or across the South and Central American region in general?
So across the region, apart from the election cycles that is sweeping across the region, e-commerce is also sweeping across, and that's a positive outcome. And I suppose maybe one of the positive results from the pandemic, which has been a catalyst for online and e-commerce and the e-commerce economy, if you like. Digital payments in Latin America grew in a way that we could never have even imagined. And yes, we took the health crisis into account, but the use of e-commerce has skyrocketed beyond any possible prediction. There was an analysis done, Rafael, as you say, beyond Brazil. It covers seven countries in the region, likes of Argentina, Chile, Colombia, Mexico, Peru, and of course Brazil as well, between April 2020 and March 2021. And this showed that more than 40 million more people made use of online payments during that period of April 2020 to March 2021. Now, Brazil has the most new users at 21 million, followed by Argentina at 8 million, and then Mexico with 4 million. More than 21,000 entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs are now charging online during this last year. And this has now translated into 682,000 entrepreneurs in Latin America used a payment link as their online payment, compared to just 300,000 who did so before the pandemic. So one positive outcome from the pandemic is that it is modernizing transactions and commerce by bringing more people online and allowing more people to undertake transactions. So again, bringing more people into the formal economy in its own special way. The pandemic can be a catalyst for good at times as well.
Well, I'm guessing their data prices aren't quite the same as ours.
Interesting question, because as we know, data prices across the African continent are some of the highest in the world, with South Africa still, despite all the competition, infighting, etc., South Africa still has some of the highest data prices in the world, and more than double the data prices of most Latin American countries. Yeah. I think we should do something about that.
I'll say. All right. Thanks so much, Prof. Always a pleasure. Lyle White is Research Associate at the Brenthurst Foundation, giving us excellent insights on Latin America and a little bit on that you might not have known about Somaliland as well. He's also the founder of organization Contextual Intelligence. Please keep a lookout for